This evening, I want to speak to you subject of seeking the Lord. When we think of the meaning of seek, to seek something, it is the need to find something. To seek something is to crave after it, to get something you really want. In gospel meetings, it has been frequently said that a seeking sinner and a seeking Savior will always meet. What happens when that occurs? Salvation occurs. A seeking sinner and a seeking Savior, they come together. My first reading is Isaiah 55 and 6. If you have a Bible and you turn to that, it'd be great. Isaiah 55, verse 6. Isaiah 55, verse 6 says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." When I look at this verse, I think of opportunity. There are people in the world today who miss out on opportunity. They become so occupied with things that they miss out. The greatest thing that you could ever miss out on is having your soul saved. To know for sure that when Jesus Christ was put upon that cross and crucified, it was for you. I asked you earlier this evening, a minute or two ago, is there any reason tonight why you could not be saved? I am very thankful that there are a number of you that attend this meeting on a very regular basis. I'm thankful for that. But you know, in recent days, there was a man who stood on this pulpit, and he said that eternity is a long time, and if you are outside of Christ, you will be forever separated from God for how long? He said, for millions and millions and millions of years. And I sat in my seat just over there, and I thought to myself, oh, how could it be if a person never accepted Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior, to be forever separated from God? Today is a day of opportunity. Seek the Lord. Well, you can. I want you to think about that and to think about the value of your soul. This body that we have, my body is decaying day by day. But the soul, the spirit of man, will live on forever for millions and millions and millions of years. The question is where. Let's turn to Luke chapter 19, please. Luke chapter 19. It's a very well-known passage of Scripture, and I confess to you that I have spoken on this before, but I've been thinking so much about this in recent weeks. You could put all kinds of titles over this story in Luke chapter 19. I was doing a little research on other preachers of the word, and one title was "A Small Man That Made Big Changes." That's good. Another one was "A Small Man That Was Lost But Found." He discovered that he was lost. He wasn't unsure of where he was going on this earth. But when the scriptures speak of being lost, it means that you're not saved. You don't know Christ as your own and personal Savior. I want to make it clear this evening that as far as God is concerned, when he looks down on humanity, he is concerned only of two groups: those who are saved and those who are lost. The word saved is found many times in the scriptures. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We must be saved. I think of 1 Timothy 2:4, who will have all men, all women, all boys and girls to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. This is God's plan for you. In fact, if you disobey God in relation to salvation, you actually are making God a liar. That is a verse. What's keeping you from being saved tonight? What's the roadblock? We're going to look at that. Let's read then Luke chapter 19. We'll start at verse 1. It's very interesting how that if you were to look at chapter 18, it's like the Lord is on the outskirts of Jericho, and he has performed a wonderful miracle to the blind man who called out to the Lord Jesus. And here the Lord is on his way to Jericho. He's just on the outskirts, and he takes time to attend to this man. And we read that beautiful statement. Jesus said unto him, "Receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee." And so the Lord continues into the city of Jericho, and we read these words. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up, saw him, and said unto him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." And Jesus said unto him, "This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham." And I want you to pay very special attention to the next verse, verse number 10, that we're going to read. "For the Son of Man," that is the Lord Jesus Christ, "is come to seek and to save that which was lost." For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. There's something that I've always thought about the conversion of Zacchaeus. And I want to say something here. When we talk about the word saved, I checked it out, and I think the word saved is in the Bible 103 times. Now, not every one of those refers specifically to salvation, but many of them do. So being saved is a term that we use. Coming to know Christ as our Savior, it's another term. Being born again, the Bible tells us that we must be born again. Resting on the work of Christ, embracing the work of Christ. All these different things essentially mean the same thing, that a person has come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Just as a little aside, many of us in this audience tonight were at Mrs. Gould's funeral yesterday. And I was standing at the back there because I had a responsibility to make sure that everybody was seated. And there was an older couple sitting there. Unfortunately, his wife developed a bit of a cough in the funeral, so she excused herself. But the gentleman continued to sit there. And throughout that funeral, the man constantly shook his head in agreement with everything that was said. Anything to do with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the man shook his head in agreement. Our brother Jackie got up and he spoke. The man was sitting there like this. You know, I made up my mind that I wanted to talk to that man. Why was he shaking his head through the service? And so, sure enough, I caught him just at the piano there. And I said to him, I noticed that you agreed with a lot that was being said at that funeral. He said, yeah. I said, tell me why. He said, as a child of 3 and a half, I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my own and personal Savior. Here he is. I'm going to be cautious, but I'm going to guess that that man was in his 80s. Was he resting on anything else? No. He was resting on the work of Christ, and as a child of 3 and a half, he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? Not only was his soul saved, but his life was preserved. Throughout his entire life, he was resting on the completed work of Christ, and he wanted to serve Christ, and he was. This story, though, it's so beautiful because Zacchaeus had a time. He had a place. He had a manner how he came to Christ. You know, in my little experience in life, I've spoken to a lot of people, and they've one statement that comes over and over again, and it so bothers me, is that people will say, I've always believed that. So? Well, like, what does that mean? I've always believed that if I fall into a lake, a life preserver will bring me out safely. But if I don't embrace that lifesaver, I will perish. I will drown. You get the point? People don't always know how to be saved. I have a 4-year-old grandson, and he's under the sound of the gospel. But he may not be able to tell me just yet how to be saved. As he develops, prayerfully and hopefully, he will be able to. So, friend, Zacchaeus had a moment in his life when he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. If I was to say to you tonight, what did you have for supper? You would be able to tell me because you ate supper. And it's the same with salvation. We need to know. You might not know the date on the calendar, but you need to know the circumstances surrounding the very fact that you trusted Christ as your Savior. And that's exactly what Zacchaeus had. Do you have that time in your life when you realized before a holy and righteous God that you were not ready to meet him? You were not saved and you needed to be saved? Please, please, do not leave this building tonight saying, well, I've always believed it. You need to have a specific moment when you came and discovered you were lost and now you're saved. So Zacchaeus, his conversion is so beautiful. When a person gets saved, it is not a process. Making popcorn in a microwave is a process. Flatten the bag out, put it in, beep, 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 and then you wait. And slowly, you see that popcorn expand. Salvation is not like that. It's not some kind of process when you go into a time booth and you slide the door and you wait. No. Salvation is something that you are fully aware of. You come to the point in your life when you discover you are lost and you need to be saved. And that's exactly what Zacchaeus did. Let's think for a moment about his opportunity. In verse 1, we learn that this is the third and last time that the Lord was going to pass through Jericho. Jericho was going to be put in his rearview mirror, so to speak, because he was moving towards Calvary. And this is it. Third and last time. Okay, Zacchaeus, it's your time. It's your time to get right with Christ. When you read the scriptures, it is amazing how many times you will see the statement, publicans and sinners. God groups them together. Why would that be? Well, the reason is that publicans were tax collectors and they were hated. I was reading that or watching that series that came out concerning the life and the death of the Lord Jesus. And the one that showed Matthew was very interesting. It showed how Matthew who was a tax collector, he would lock the front door of this mansion, so to speak, and a man would be waiting there with a wagon, and he would crawl into the wagon, and the man would kind of pull a tarpaulin over him and hide him, and he would take Matthew, the tax collector, to his little booth where he would collect taxes. You know that expression, it's lonely at the top? The publican was lonely because he was at the top. The publican was hated. Jewish man working for the Romans, pocketing as much money as he can, and he's very rich. But you know what? His opportunity was not missed. And you might be saying tonight, opportunity. I'm just a young person, or I've got this to do, I've got that to do. You know, there's over 31,000 verses in the Bible, and there is not one verse in this book that says, you're promised tomorrow. Not one. Let's read a couple of them. Proverbs 27, verse 1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. 2 Corinthians 6 and 2. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You know, my wife reminded me of something this afternoon. For those of you who are familiar with St. Mary's Academy, a number of years ago, they had a wrought iron fence around their school. And there was a man on a motorcycle that crashed his bike and ended up on that wrought iron fence. He was impaled on this wrought iron fence. And the people that came there, the paramedics and so on, obviously the police, they phoned his parents and they said, if you want to say goodbye to your son, come down to St. Mary's Academy because he is impaled on the fence so badly that when we pull his body off, the loss of blood, he will die. Can you imagine that? Getting that phone call? I wonder if that person was saved. We just read two verses that were not promised tomorrow. And so Zacchaeus, the man whose name means the just or pure one, he decided that he better get down to business. And so what did he do? He climbed the tree. You know, there's probably a lot of people on the ground. Because a publican, a tax collector, was so hated, there was probably a lot of people on the ground looking up at him and laughing at him and jeering him. Are you afraid of somebody doing that to you if you become a Christian? Are you afraid of the crowd? We were hearing this morning in our worship meeting about the fear of men. How many people today are afraid of what their friends or colleagues might say? Don't worry about that. If you know Christ, it is the greatest, greatest thing that you could ever know. And so Zacchaeus was absolutely determined to see Jesus. How determined are you tonight to see Jesus? I don't mean with your physical eyes, but with the eye of faith. How determined are you to see Jesus as your own personal Savior? Perhaps, could it be that Zacchaeus was talking to Matthew, a fellow tax collector, and said, you know what? You got to see this man. It is incredible. The miracles that he has performed and the works that he has done. You have to see Jesus. Could it be that the conscience that every one of us has was working in his heart, and God was working in his heart and saying, Zacchaeus, you got to make things right. You know that you are an evil, wicked person, and you have not done your job honestly. Whatever the reason was, he climbed up in that tree. He wasn't afraid about the jeering crowd. He wasn't afraid about people laughing. Please, think of yourself this evening. When it comes to salvation, salvation is a very personal matter. And indeed, you must be selfish. You need to do what is right for yourself. You need to accept Jesus Christ for yourself. And if you do, there's a wonderful opportunity that maybe you would be used to bring others to the Lord Jesus. So Zacchaeus, he got rid of all the roadblocks. And you know what? If you're hesitant to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior tonight, you need to put all the roadblocks to the side and to look and look at Jesus and how that you can be saved. Zacchaeus was a rich man. I want to make something very, very clear, that God is not a respecter of persons. You could be penniless. You could be the wealthiest man or woman on earth. It does not matter how big or how small your bank account is. If you were to read John chapter 1, you would learn that all things were made by him. God owns everything. The psalmist would say, the cattle on 1,000 hills are mine. He's not interested in your wealth. He's interested in your heart. So please don't think that there's other things that you need. You do not need. You can get saved without taking your hand out of your pocket. You can get saved for a woman without opening her purse. Salvation is a gift. And if you pay for a gift, it is no longer a gift. So Zacchaeus, there he is up the tree. And the Lord Jesus walking by, couldn't you just see that? Just think there in your mind. Here he is in the sycamore tree, that tree that had all the branches that would grow close to the ground. And just see him. I'm going to see Jesus. I'm going to see him. He's looking down. Lord Jesus comes and looks up to him. As if he was the only person on earth. You know, if you were the only person on earth, you or you, Jesus would be interested in you. He would have died just for you. There he is. I think oftentimes of that time. Zacchaeus looking down, the Lord looking up. Make haste and come down. You know, as far as I know, this is the only time when the Lord invites himself to a person's house. Isn't that special? Who are you having tonight for dinner? I'm having the Lord. The Lord. You know what? The Lord won't be in our houses. But he can be in your heart. He wants to save your soul. Are you saved? What are you seeking tonight? A job promotion? You know, the story was told of a man who became a millionaire. And somebody went up to him and he said, well, you know, he was excited for this man. He said, what's next? You know what the millionaire said? Another million? Another million? I hope you're not like that. I had a colleague at work when I worked, and he married a dentist. They bought this great big house in Linden Woods, and he said to me, that's not my forever house. I'm like, really? That looks like a pretty big, no. That's not my forever house. I want a bigger house. Nothing wrong with education. Maybe you already have a few letters after your name, and you would like to get your PhD and your doctorate. Nothing wrong with education. But is that what you're seeking? What are you seeking tonight? Have you valued your soul? Is your soul saved? So Genesis 16:13 says, thou God seeth me. There's no escaping God. And there's the Lord Jesus looking up at Zacchaeus. It's interesting how that the Lord Jesus, as he traveled and walked upon this earth, he never wasted any steps. Think of the woman at the well of Samaria. He must needs go through Samaria. The leper, he never wasted any steps. This morning in worship, we are hearing about the beautiful hands and feet of the Lord Jesus, the feet that bring good tidings. Have you thought recently about those nail-pierced hands and feet? The Lord Jesus never wasted a step. And there he is looking up at Zacchaeus. I want to move, though, down to verse 10. And I want to talk a little bit about that tonight. Verse number 10. It has been said that there's many important verses in the book of Luke. But it has been said that this is the most important book. Verse in the book of Luke. Let's read it again. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Whose plan of salvation is it? I like to think of it as the unstoppable plan of salvation. Galatians 4, verse 4 says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son. We see God moving. The unstoppable plan of salvation. Who is the person? God incarnate. Jesus Christ, God's Son. What place did he come to? He left heaven. He came to planet Earth. He went to Calvary. And when they came to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him. Purpose: to seek and to save. God is in the business of saving souls. He is seeking you. Will you come to him and be saved? We are reminded very frequently in our meetings that God is a God of love. And in love, he seeks you. God has demonstrated love in the giving of his precious Son to come to this earth to suffer and to bleed and die. Again, as I mentioned earlier, this verse is telling me that as far as God is concerned, there are only two groups of people, those that are saved and those that are lost. I ask you tonight, where are you? Are you really close to the door of entering into receiving Christ? You're just standing at the door? Don't wait. Be like Zacchaeus. Make haste and come in. Come in through the door, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive him as your own and personal Savior. Luke 5:32 says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And Romans 3:10 says, there is none righteous, no, not one. Could it be that God is calling you tonight? Could it be that you want to do business with God tonight? You know, I was thinking of Zacchaeus and how he went up that sycamore tree. And there was one, the Lord Jesus Christ, that was hung upon the tree. He came to earth when crucifixion was exceedingly popular. He knew that. He knew that he was going to be put upon that cross. He knew that he would be beaten and scourged and every possible thing that men could do to him, he would suffer. He knew that. And men had their way with him. They did what they wanted to do to him. They beat him and they hung him upon that cross. That was man's time with the Lord Jesus. But what about 3 hours of darkness? The earth covered in darkness. Human eye was not allowed to see what was being done to the Lord Jesus. The punishment that he bore as God poured out his wrath upon him. We know not what occurred during those 3 hours of darkness. But I want to think of one of the cries from the cross. It is finished. The victorious cry of the cross. I've told you so many times, but I am just so very thankful. 62 years ago, as a child of 7, I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've had the privilege to be raised under the sound of the gospel from my earliest days. And I can honestly say to you tonight that there has never, ever been a time when I have ever heard a believer say that they were sorry that they accepted Jesus Christ. What I have heard is that how they wished that they had received him sooner. You will never be sorry. Never, ever, ever will you be sorry. I think of that dear man, I believe his name was, surname was Johnson, Mr. Johnson. 3.5 years of age. That's what God wants us to be. Just like a child. Just like a little child to come to him and say, Jesus, I will trust you. Trust you with my soul. Guilty, lost, and helpless. You can make me whole. Would you do that tonight? Would you simply see yourself the way that God sees you? Guilty, lost, unable to save yourself. You would simply come to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust him, believe in him, rest on him. The work is finished. Is that good enough for you? God's well pleased in his Son. God is well pleased in all that the Lord Jesus has done. Are you satisfied? Could you trust him? Do so tonight. Remember, there will be no watches in heaven because time will not be as it is on earth. Every human being will be in one of two places for millions and millions, millions of years. I close with the verse I read at the beginning, Isaiah 55 and 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let's pray.